Muy buenas tardes y buenas noches a donde es de noche, a todos los que están conectados a través del satélite.
Good afternoon and good evening where it's evening to all those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas or the satellite Eutelsat 8 or also through the internet. Today, Friday, December 1st of this year, 2023. I also send a very special greeting to the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin there in the congregation that the Reverend Francisco Banda pastors and all the ministers, brothers and sisters in the different countries and congregations. For this occasion, we have the subject, The Still Small Voice, preached on September 27, 2015. On a Sunday in Valencia, Venezuela. He used the scripture there of 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8 and on, where it tells us, "And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. There he writes, Powerful, strong wind. And he writes first, and he writes Luther, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And he writes two, earthquake, Wesley, and after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And he writes three, fire, Pentecost. He writes that there. And after the fire, a still small voice. And he writes four, voice, and a cornerstone, and he writes the cornerstone. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What dost thou hear, Elijah? There he also draws a cornerstone, and he draws the last three ages. He divides them, and he writes one, two, three. And he writes four at top on the cornerstone. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Mohola, shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And he writes, Hazael, Jehu, and Elisha. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which had not kissed him. the still small voice. You may please be seated. In the message that he made as an introduction on Friday, September 25th, 2015, titled The Still Small Voice, because the introduction of this message was called the same as this one that we will be seeing. And he gave it this title. And let us read a portion here. Our brother William tells us, also preaching in Valencia, Venezuela, he says, now this then becomes type and figure under the new covenant on the Mount of God, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The strong wind, the age, the time of Luther, the Lutheran age, then the earthquake, the Wesleyan age, and then the fire, the Pentecostal age, and then the still small voice. See, it's going on up. And then the still small voice. Where? In the age of the cornerstone. In the book of quotations, on page 68, which is an excerpt from the message, The Restoration of the Bride Tree, on page 68 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 591, it tells us. Did you get it? Amen. For God said, I will restore it. He's going to restore it. How? By four death messengers killed it, then four live messengers will restore it. There on the right side, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. But he only numbers 1, 2, and 3, that is, Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, which is the age where the seventh messenger is, the Reverend William Branham. And above in the cornerstone, he writes 4. In other words, he numbers them. Then four live messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther, justification. What was the second? John Wesley, by sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost, with the restoration of the gifts, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. What was the fourth? The Word. What? The Word. There were four great prophets, one of them, Martin Luther. He began to shine a light. There was a little light, just a very small strength of justification. Along come Wesley, stronger sanctification. After Wesley come the stronger than him, Pentecostal, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in another great prophet. See? But in the last days of Malachi 4, Elijah is to come with the very word. There he draws again on the right side a cornerstone of the last three ages, and he numbers them. And there in the very word, there he writes Elijah. Now, look at this one from the same page 68, on paragraph 592. It tells us, prophecy, son of man, can these bones live? Which we had time. I got it wrote down here, but I have to miss that. Prophecy, can these bones live? What's the four stages of Ezekiel's dry bones coming forth? But the life only come, not when the sinew skin was on them, but when the wind blowed upon them. That's when come back that fourth message of life. I will restore, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise be to God. The fourth light is to come that will bring forth the same sign. And there on the right side, he writes a cornerstone and the ages, and he numbers them again. 1, 2, 3, and the fourth on the cornerstone, and he draws rays, and he writes light above on the cornerstone. And on the left side, he also draws the same thing. He writes fourth light, the cornerstone number 4, inside. and the age, the last three numbered. Watch. Justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark. Doctrine of holiness. What brought back the leaf? Pentecostals. What is it? Pentecostals, leaves, clap their hands. Now notice there, that part of clap their hands, which is the stage he's placing it there in the Pentecostals. And if we turn to page 25, he tells us, on paragraph 211, he says, and it's been told me some time ago by a vision that the Lord gave me some year ago, I suppose, or maybe a little more. I have it wrote out in a book at home of a changing of ministry. And then some time ago, I was in a vision and I saw a large tent. Oh, it was a mammoth, big affair. And I had just been speaking and many souls were at the altar and were just kind of weeping with their hands up, quietly and softly. And he continues narrating there, but notice what he wrote there. He says, it was not the denominational Pentecostal style. Everything was quiet and soft, with much reverence, reverently. In other words, see, in this fourth stage, which is speaking to us there, which is the stage of the still small voice, it is in a reverently way, softly. It is not in that Pentecostal style. That is why when you see a group or you see groups, a congregation clapping and all that, they are already identified with the Pentecostal stage. They are identified there with the seventh age. So instead of going up, they go down. They fall then. If they were in the neck part, then they fall even lower. And they keep doing the same as the Pentecostals. Leaves clapping their hands. And you see them clapping their hands when they are singing in devotionals. They are then there identified as denomination. The stage of the still small voice is the stage of the cornerstone, where God is worshipped in a new way. That is why he says, in 200, let us see, right there where it says, in a new way, it's 216. There at the end of that paragraph, from page 26 in the book of quotations, it says, so seemingly maybe I will continue on until that maybe the tent starts, or whatever it is he has chosen to begin to declare his name in a new way. Notice, because everything there is in a new way. It's not in the way it was done in the time of the ages. Now, he continues saying here on page 68, where we pause on 592, he continues saying, we stopped on Pentecostals, leave, clap their hands, joy, rejoicing, Pentecostal. What? The fourth was the word itself. The word was made flesh, fruit of the proof of the resurrection sign that Christ had finally, after justification being planted, sanctification being planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out, and Christ has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid. First line, justification. Sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then coming of the cap. There again on the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he numbers them. From 1, 2, 3, and the fourth, the cornerstone. What is it? That Holy Ghost bunch being honed out so that he can fit with the same kind of ministry he had when he went away, that when he comes back. And He writes, in His coming, when He comes back, He'll catch the whole thing in the rapture. In the part there of the coming of the cap, there He draws a little cornerstone. And on the side, on the right side, He writes the cornerstone. And in between, He had already drawn the Star of David, and on top of that, He writes the cornerstone. That when He comes back, He'll catch the whole thing in the rapture, where the justified, sanctified, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, that pyramid will stand again. In other words, it will rise again. And there He draws a cornerstone and the ages. Also there where it says, He'll catch the whole thing in the rapture, there He also writes, rapture, Revelation 4:1. In that paragraph where He is talking about sanctification, justification, sanctification, Pentecostals, and He goes back and repeats it several times down there. He numbers them there, 1, 2, 3. That is, He numbers them. We already touched on that. They are numbered there from that part and down. Now notice what our brother William continues saying here. It is the age where the still small voice has a voice, the voice of God. God was there, and there is where God will be in the age of the cornerstone, where He will manifest Himself in all of its fullness in the last day. The same one who spoke through Luther for that age, the same one who spoke through Wesley for that Wesleyan age, and the same one who spoke through the Reverend William Branham for the Pentecostal age, is the same one who will be in the age of the cornerstone under the still small voice, speaking to us with that message or soft voice directly to our heart, because the age of the cornerstone pertains to the soul, to the heart. On page 8a, also tells us from this book of quotations, paragraph 75, it tells us, Lord, in a few days, I'm climbing onto a cave yonder to wait. Oh God, help me, Lord. Blind me and deafen my ears from the things of the world, for popularity or for fame or for any vain thing that this world could offer. Let me stay there, Lord, till I hear that still small voice. Then let your servant come forth, Lord, mounting up on the wings of an eagle. Granted, Lord. And at the end there He writes, wings of an eagle. And on the left, there He draws a cornerstone and the ages. And to the right side of that paragraph, He also writes upward, still small voice. And on top He had written, come on the wings of an eagle. Elijah, the still small voice, equals cave. Our brother William continues saying, therefore, it is with a still small voice, a still small voice that will speak directly to our souls, to our heart, to give us the faith to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Remember that Revelation chapter 10 comes with the little book open in His hand, Christ coming to His church to place the title deed in His church. And since John the Apostle represented the church going through different stages and its messengers of each stage, when he receives the title deed, the book sealed with seven seals, there he is representing the one who will receive it at the last day and will eat it. That title has never been brought to earth since Adam lost it. We say he lost it, but it's not lost. It is at the right hand of God, who is the original owner. Why couldn't Adam continue with that title deed? Because the enemy would use it and prevent redemption from taking place. Therefore, God took it so that man wouldn't live eternally in the sinful condition, so that instead the title would return to the right hand of God. And at the last day, God would bring it to earth through the angel of the covenant, Christ, bringing that title deed to earth, to the house of the second Adam, which is the house of Christ. He is the head of that house, the firstborn of that house. And in Revelation 10, he brings it and gives it to a man who there represents the messenger of the last day of the age of the cornerstone to eat it. And then he has the commandment to prophesy over many people, nations, and tongues. Therefore, the one who eats it must be a prophet. And the other thing, when we turn to Revelation 11, the one that prophesies over many people, nations, and tongues is the minister of Moses and Elijah. It's as simple as that. Now notice in this message, the one we're now going to read on page 27 in the message on the wings of a snow-white dove, he tells us, on page 27 it says, I laid my hands against the rock and looked up toward heaven and started praying. And I heard a voice coming out of the top of the rock stairs said, what are you leaning against over your heart? And I raised back like this, my bare shoulders, naked from my waist up, hot. And I looked back, and there was wrote in the quartz, in the stone, white eagle. And he writes, Moses and Elijah. Just exactly what the vision said that the next message would come forth by. And he writes, white eagle brings the next message, the gospel of the kingdom. I was so excited, I ran home, got a camera, and come back the next day and took a picture of it. It was still there, wrote in the rock, white eagle. And he writes, prophet. Eagle, and there he writes Moses and Elijah. Dove leading the eagle. And he writes, the Holy Spirit. Elijah. And there, dove, on the side he writes, equals the word. Notice, because it's the fourth, where we read in the book of quotations, that fourth stage is the stage of the word. Our brother William keeps on saying, he says they will be able to speak, they will be able to smite the earth with plagues as oft as they want. That speaks to us about absolute power. That speaks to us that the title deed has returned to earth, to the human race. That speaks to us that we will again be in days like the ones of the time of Jesus, and like the ones of the time of Adam before his fall. That speaks to us of the restoration of the sons and daughters of God to the physical eternal life. It speaks to us about the restoration of all the power of God given to Adam, and also that Christ had, returning to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of its fullness. On page 52 of the book of quotations, paragraph 450, notice he tells us, Revelation 14, 6 to 12, that is Revelation 14, that's the three last angels, three angels. After the seven last angels, there were three special angels come forth. Did you notice that? And now, I want you to notice them three last angels. The first angel, that's Revelation 14, 6 to 12. The first angel had sounded the trumpet of the gospel and had the everlasting gospel preached to all the world. The second angel kind of preached a holiness gospel, see? Because he said that the church had committed fornication. And the third angel roared out to escape the mark of the beast. Watch. The first angel at the Reformation, Luther, preached the gospel. Second angel, Wesley, sanctification. The fornication. He straightened up the church. But the third message, the Pentecostal message, should be the true messenger, warning them to escape the mark of the beast. There he draws the bottom part of the ages, and he only divides the seventh one. That's the very message today. And he writes, the third message. Notice the very next verse, the 12th, 13th verse. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. What's the next? Armageddon. Church is gone then after the third angel's message. And there he draws a cornerstone and the bottom part only with the seventh age. Notice after that seventh messenger, after the third angel message, next thing is the age of the cornerstone. Now he continues saying, therefore, it must also happen that way in the spiritual temple of Christ, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Upon the church being completed, the fullness of God will come to his church, and there will be a great manifestation, a great awakening that there was in each past age. There is where the title deed is brought by Christ, the mighty angel who comes down from heaven in Revelation chapter 10. From there is where the two olive trees come forth. From where does the two olive trees come from? Notice, when the church is completed in that manifestation, that greater awakening, from there is where the two olive trees come from. There is also from where the message comes from, not only for the church, but for the Hebrew people, as simple as that. He says, he continues saying, because he was reading that quote from page 37. During the message, he was reading that part, and in certain portion, he makes the pauses and speak. And here, he comes back to the scripture from page 37, that excerpt. He says, and he quotes that short part where it says, the fullness of time when the pyramid gets up to the top, when all the sons and daughters of God will be manifested, when the power of God will walk out. Now, that speaks to us about adoption. Let us turn to page 37 to read that little part from the beginning up to there. Paragraph 312 of 37, it goes on to 38, it says, his blood was shed that I might go to my inheritance. To be what? What inheritance? The non-ship, to be a son of God. And now, this may just choke you to death, but did you know that men that are sons of God are amateur gods? And on top he writes, the adoption and the plagues. And below he writes, the children of God equals our gods. Let us turn to page 38. How many ever know that? How many knows that Jesus said so? The Bible, Jesus said, did not your law say itself that you are gods? And if you call them gods, which God said in Genesis 2, that they were gods, because they were had full domain over the dominion of the world. He gave him dominion over all things, and he lost his godship, he lost his non-ship, he lost his domain, and Satan took it over. But brother, we are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, whom will come back and take it over again, waiting for the fullness of time, when the pyramid, there he draws a little cornerstone, gets up to the top. And on the right side, he draws a cornerstone as well, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. When the full sons of God will be manifested, when the power of God will walk out, hallelujah, and will take every power that Satan's got away from him. He made man a god in his domain, and his domain goes from sea to sea, from shore to shore. He has the control of it. And you can then continue reading all that later on. On top he writes, an adopted son, Moses and Elijah. The plague, the adoption at the top. Our brother William continues saying, so seeing that there are these promises for the church, then let us be prepared to receive those blessings from God. There is a place where he says, look up at the coming age, the age of the cornerstone. On that same page 37, paragraph 311, he says, now look at the age coming now, right up to the headstone. That is 311. That is, it is the paragraph before the one we read. And there in that paragraph are several writings. But on top, notice, he wrote, the age of the cornerstone, the coming of the Lord. There, he wrote that above that paragraph 311. He goes on saying, which is the age that comes after the Pentecostal age? The age of the cornerstone. There is where the title deed will be brought by Christ to his church for the adoption of all the children of God. And the adoption is the redemption of the body, the resurrection and glorified bodies of those who departed, and the transformation of those who are alive, believers in Christ, in the mystical body of Christ. On page 48 on this book of quotations, also tells us from paragraph 417, the same voice that summoned John, come up, the same voice that said to John, come up, is the same voice that will summon the church someday. Amen. Summons the church. Also, the same voice that summoned John to come up is the same voice that summons dead Lazarus out of the grave. That same voice of the archangel. Christ is the voice of the archangel, the voice of the archangel. And above he writes, come up here, Revelation 4:1, the rapture. And he writes, voice of archangel equals Christ in his angel. And he also writes, the great trumpet, the voice of Christ. And he draws on the right, above the first sentence of that paragraph, he draws a cornerstone and he writes, come up. Voice of the archangel, see? Oh, that trumpet voice of Christ summons John to come up. The same voice summoned Lazarus. Did you notice at the grave of Lazarus, he spoke with a loud voice. The same voice said to John, come up here. I'll show you some things that's fixing to happen. That same voice that shall sound when the dead in Christ shall rise for the trumpet. The trumpet, what is a trumpet? The voice of Christ. The same one sounded and summoned, come up hither. And below there, he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes, the rapture, come up hither. Because it is the same voice. Notice, it is the same voice of archangel. It is the same voice of the trumpet. It is the same voice. Notice there on Mount Transfiguration. There, that voice said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. In other words, only one voice. He goes on to say, from there, the two olive trees, Moses and Elijah, will also go forth to take the message of the word of God to the Hebrew people. Just as God told Elijah there on Mount Horeb, I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal, nor kissed him. In the book of quotations, there he tells us about those 7,000, which represent the 144,000. Let us read it, so we have it also here. That writing, on that page 429, in the book of the seals, he says, he sent Elijah to Ahab, and 7,000 come out. Is that right? Amen. He sent them right back over here again in the time of the tribulation and call out 144,000. Now, see, you notice between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, the seventh chapter of Revelation mathematically set together right. Now remember that call, notice when he seals them. On 424, he told us, They wrestled with God until 144,000 of the tribes of Israel are called out right there. And he says, that's just before the tribulation period, see? Oh, how wonderful. Then two prophets, they'll preach like John the Baptist. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is, they enter into the great tribulation, already sealed, already gathered together and sealed. Now, he writes on 364, at the top, he writes, 7,000 equals 144,000. Our brother William continues saying, those 7,000 elect from the northern tribes represent the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, whom will be called according to Revelation chapter 9 by the angel who comes with the seal of the living God, that is with the Holy Spirit, and who will call and gather together those 144,000. Therefore, they also appear in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 and on. Called and sealed in Revelation chapter 7. We have already seen how Elijah back then was on the Mount of God, and how here Elijah in his fourth manifestation and fifth manifestation, where will they be? On the Mount of God, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is where he gives him the revelation, that is God to Elijah, that he has 144,000, just as he gave him the revelation there on Mount Horeb that had 7,000 who had not bowed their knees to Baal. That mystery must not be fully open yet, nor the mystery of the seventh seal, the angel who comes with the seal of the living God, and the angel who comes with the title deed in Revelation chapter 10. But the important thing is that we know where we are. We know in which stage of the church we are living, and we must be aware of the promises that they are for us at this end time. And gradually, what we do not understand at the moment, we will understand it later on. It is important that the word in the stage of the still small voice enters directly into our soul, because that still small voice, the word of God, God speaking at this time, is for the blessing of our soul and to prepare us for the transformation and catching away to heaven, which he has promised, called the rapture or catching away of the church at the last day. And he will give us the faith to be transformed, the faith, the revelation of the seventh seal, the revelation of his coming with his angels for the last day in the church, in the age of the cornerstone, which is where he will fulfill his coming with his angels. The still, small voice. Let us stand up, and thus, we will be listening and seeing this message, of which we had this introduction part here, using the same message of introduction as a subject, the still, small voice, that he preached that previous Friday. And now, we will see the subject, that is, the message under that subject, the still small voice. With us, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.